one as well, because obviously, you know, since there's been media, you've had people who obviously have their own personal views and positions on things. But if you were on TV 20 years ago, or, longer ago than that, there was only really that outlet. People didn't really have another way of finding out what you really thought. My dad would shout at TV and say, that newsreader is always pro-Thatcher, or that guy is always pro-Labour, or, whatever. But no one really knew.
Mm.
And now you're getting a position where you get writers in, not just writers, broadcasters, whoever, in certain positions who wanted to see themselves online. And Twitter's a very public-facing way, but obviously, you could have 200 friends on Facebook, and it doesn't take much for what you say there to then become a public issue.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of people, where this kind of gets a bit interesting is there's a lot of A-listers for whom, people naturally think about with these kind of issues. And they sort of say, okay, well, I get like Robert Peston probably doesn't talk about his political views on his Twitter feed.
Mm.
But there's this whole 98% of media professionals who are on the editorial side whose job is really about, getting across messages. And they're kind of so low level that, of course, they have a private life like anyone else.
Mm.
And much of the time that doesn't cross over with what they might do day to day. So if you work on a trade publication around metal exchanges, it's likely on Twitter you're not going to be talking about that, evenings and weekends. But in certain other circumstances, you get someone like works for a local paper, for example, something they could easily say could easily be construed as being partisan in some way.
Mm.
And there's a lot of media owners who are very conscious that they want people on their own time, which means basically any time they utter anything ever, to represent the brand.